I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia.
Hello.
Hello.
I felt there was a lot of intake of breath.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm glad you're breathing.
Yeah.
That's great. But
yeah.
We're back. Where's my oxygen tank?
Yeah, it's been a journey.
You know, life is a highway, Haley. It's September.
It is.
And I am really excited because that, you know, fall is imminent.
It's imminent.
It doesn't feel like it currently,
no.
But fall is imminent.
Yes, it is. It's been hot as Hades this summer.
All right, let's just say it.
Hell. It's been hell.
Take a deep breath in.
Hell.
Yeah. An exhale on the hell.
Yeah. It's been ridiculously hot.
It has been, and that's not cool.
In the mountains,
because
we were not prepared.
I want to wear flannel. I want to do the things.
Right,
I want to go pumpkin patch picking.
Okay.
Parking.
Uh-huh.
Pooping. Okay. No. Something with a P and an ING.
I'm ready for spooky season.
Yes.
I'm ready to put up my Halloween decorations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that, and I need it to come quickly.
Yep.
But September means we have been back in school for 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
No.
I don't know.
Probably like three weeks.
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember when you started. It does. How's it going?
It's good.
Yeah, you're living the dream.
That's great.
Obviously.
No, we have. Yeah, it's. I do really love what I do. The kids are good, most of them. They all are. They're all just little turds, and I love them all, you know?
See? Pooping.
They are. They're just, some of them are just little nightmares, and I love them dearly.
I hope nobody says that about my son when he gets to that,
nightmare.
You know? Like, I want them to be like, oh, he's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that right now
right.
at school for
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
I just want that to continue.
You know?
I don't want him to be that kid. That
yeah.
Haley is like that little turd bucket.
But those are my favorite kids.
I don't. Oh, right. Well, why?
I just like, they're just got a lot going on. And
they're
I
interesting.
Just really like them.
As a parent, I don't want
no.
my kid to be a turd.
But sometimes they're turds for good reason.
Well, no.
We
but
just
I don't...
gotta work through how we express that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Don't fight others and, you know.
Even right now when we're tired and emotional, it's
yeah.
like, oh, we don't hit our mama.
Mm-mm.
No, we do not.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Haley, we don't hit our mama.
Okay. Understood. Understood. I gotta teach the children that.
Teach them, don't hit our mama.
Yeah, and they're 16, 17, and twice my size. Sometimes that's a little tricky.
But also, you know, things for life, like don't wear your house boots out.
Right. Yeah.
My son has, I think we've talked about it, he has house boots mm-hmm. that Haley's mom got him. They're a little too big, so he can't wear them out yet
because
right. they're like three sizes too big. But they're so darn cute. And
yeah.
He calls them his house boots. And he says, I always say, hey, what's the rule? I don't wear my house boots out.
Right.
And I was like, that's right.
Right. You will trip.
He was like, until I'm bigger. And I was like, that's right, because you will trip and fall.
Oh, gosh. So. And when I say my children are turds, I mean that with the most love.
Because you know... Their parents might be listening to this.
They're not. And if they are, it's not your kid I'm talking about. No, they're all, I mean.
It's the ones who aren't listening. We're
right,
talking about them.
No, they're all great. I mean, really. They all
yeah.
have, and that's the thing with, like, I think getting to work in my role in the school. Like, I get to see them out of the classroom.
Right.
And in such a different, we have such a different relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can find a redeeming quality in every single one of them.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if you can find a redeeming quality in me,
right.
good Lord,
right.
you can find it in
yeah,
those kids.
Same.
Yeah.
But no, we just, I have really awesome kids.
That's good.
Like, they're just,
well,
awesome.
And I'm glad that you love what you do. Yeah. And you kind of have found your niche, I think. So
I do. And it's one of those things, like, I can talk, because I can say that my kids are turds sometimes and make bad choices. But if anybody else talks about my students...
Oh, watch out.
Oh, no, no.
I feel a snap.
Like, that, yes. Is that kid in the principal's office, like, twice a week? Yes. But you don't get to say anything about him. Because he's mine.
They're not bad kids, just bad choices.
We just make some bad choices.
That's right. Doesn't mean we can't change.
No.
Although, we do a podcast about people who make a lot of bad choices, who may very well be bad people.
Yeah, you know, but none of my kids are that.
Let's hope not. Let's hope that doesn't...
That's going to be, because, you know, we're intervening. We're doing the things.
You're doing all the things. That's right. I am intervening as well in my job. So, look at us.
Look at us.
Doing all the things. We're magical. Mm-hmm.
All right.
What's the story about? Is this a bad choice?
No.
Oh.
Actually, we're going to travel again to the north. We're going to go to New York.
A Yankee.
Yep. And we're going to talk about Forest Park Cemetery.
Oh. Mm. Oh, your favorite place to go. You love cemeteries.
I love a cemetery.
I know.
Me too.
I know. For a good time. Where's Haley?
In the cemetery. Yep, when I go on vacation, it's one of the things I like to find, are old cemeteries.
Absolutely. We've got one that we see every day on our drive, and my son is always looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to read the names and see the dates.
I know.
But would you ever be buried yourself? Like, are you planning to be, do you going to have a headstone, an epitaph, all the things? You have a writing on it that says, "Oh, sweet Ginger." We hardly knew ya.
No.
Just say sweet Ginger.
Just say sweet Ginger on it.
1997 to 2023.
Oh, it's this year. Wait a second.
The fall is imminent. maybe that's how you'll go. It'll be a fall.
Maybe.
In the fall.
It might be. I don't think so. Cemeteries, like, for me personally, I don't want to be around that many people in death. You know,
I get that.
Like, I like the solitude
of death.
Just, you know,
laying, you know,
dig a hole for me in, you know, a nice secluded area.
The woods?
I don't know about the woods.
Yeah, no.
You know, just a nice, calm, peaceful area. Maybe under a library.
Ew.
I
don't want to be checking out my books and your body's under my feet. No, thanks.
That's fine.
It's not fine. It's fine. This ain't cool.
Well, we're going to talk about some people who are buried.
Okay.
in this cemetery.
Like, shut up, Holly. And... I don't want to think about my death or where I am buried. Don't ask me.
A big thanks to Explore.com.
Of course.
For this article. Also, Wikipedia. Thank you for your service. to the research for this article. Big thanks. Okay, so, all right, we're going to talk about Forest Park Cemetery. It was first incorporated in 1897.
Oh, so it is pretty old.
Yep, old. By a group of wealthy Troy businessmen under the Forest Park Cemetery Corporation. However, based on some older gravestones, the cemetery had apparently been in use since at least 1856.
Wow. So pre-Civil War.
Yeah. Yep. The original area chosen for the cemetery occupied about 200 acres of farmland in what was then rural Brunswick.
Okay.
Meant to outgrow and even outclass Troy's Oakwood Cemetery, which sounds fancy. It was originally designed by Garnet Baltimore, who was the first African-American graduate of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
That's amazing.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Baltimore planned on the cemetery to offer visitors a park-like experience, complete with statues, winding trails, and a large receiving tomb near the entrance.
I'm going to say two things about this. Number one, the whole statues kind of creep me out a little bit. And a receiving tomb. Welcome. This is where you will be resting. This is the this is where we take your information. Hello. All right. Now you're going to be to the left under the pine tree. Oh, I hope you have a lovely, lovely rest. Like, that's kind of what it sounds like. Yeah. Receiving tomb.
But I do kind of like the idea that it, you know, because when you go to a cemetery, you know, you visit a cemetery to feel close to your loved one that's passed. So being able to have a kind of like a park almost.
Yes.
Of like, you know, absolutely. There's some calm walking trails through.
Maybe a waterfall.
You know, nice benches, perhaps.
Yeah.
That nice kind of thing.
Stone pathway or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I just don't like the statues.
You know, it's a choice.
I know, and it's often seen. I just feel uncomfortable.
They get a little spooky after a time when they start to kind of wear down a little. They just get spooky.
Yeah, they do.
So, and we're going to talk about that.
Oh, all right. I'm so excited.
The Forest Park Cemetery Corporation actually went bankrupt in 1914, and the cemetery was never completed to the original plan.
Interesting.
The only structure that had been built was the receiving tomb.
Welcome. There's nothing else here for you.
Just this.
But I'm glad the experience was delightful. Please rate us.
Five stars.
TripAdvisor.
On Yelp.
Because it was a real good trip.
We never came back. It was so good. We stayed forever.
It's a one-way ticket.
Yep. Okay.
We got the jokes.
It's left and right. The receiving tomb, which actually does still stand today, is in kind of a dilapidated state.
Well, one would expect.
It was built from granite, featured a copper roof with a large skylight, and contained 128 marble catacombs used for storing corpses during the winter. So, until they could be buried.
Right, because the ground was too hard. Yeah, okay, so. I had a moment of like...
They took them out during the summer, and they put them in there, and then they put them back in the ground.
The whole idea here changed for me from like, who can say where the road... It was just very chill and zen to things like a Limp Bizkit song or something. Like, just crazy. All right.
Okay.
I took you on a journey. You're welcome.
Yeah, that was a lot. Okay. In 1914, the cemetery was reincorporated by New York City natives under the name Forest Hills Cemetery.
Oh, I've heard of that then. Yeah.
Due to financial difficulty, the corporation sold all but 22 acres to the neighboring County Club of Troy to use in the construction of its golf course.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if there were like actual bodies there.
So when you sell a graveyard, you're essentially selling these bodies as well, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm not sure if the land that they sold to them had bodies in it.
Okay.
But maybe.
Oh, sorry about that, Mr. Leroy. I didn't mean to hit you.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Anyway. So even though they did this, they too went bankrupt, during the 1930s. The cemetery's kind of bad. It's the Great Depression. The cemetery went mostly unattended except for a local man named William Christian who volunteered to be caretaker and did so from 1918 until his death in 1961.
Wow.
He took care of the cemetery. Christian kept notes of internments, which indicate that the cemetery served upwards of 1,400 burials. And burials continued in the cemetery until about 1975, when the cemetery went completely unattended. Wow. Until 1987, control of the cemetery was in dispute. During that year, control was vested in the town of Brunswick at the decree of New York State. In response, the town created a Forest Park Cemetery Advisory Council in 1991, but it ended up being disbanded in 1994, so that's just, nobody can get it together for this cemetery.
No.
Based on local obituaries, the cemetery was put back into use in the late 1990s and has been used as recently as 2005 for a burial. Employees of the town of Brunswick made multiple attempts during the 1990s and 2000s to remove the overgrown brush and plants, which had become a major problem.
Yeah.
So nature's like taking it back.
Yep.
In 1988, the cemetery was featured in the local Times Record newspaper after two youths discovered a partially exhumed grave.
I feel like this is the same story that we had with the Irwin High School, right, where it was just a couple of youths who were like, just a couple of youths, you know, just, you know, hanging out, and all of a sudden they're like, oh man, I see a dead body.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like that sometimes.
Haley's hoping to find that. She wants to be the youth.
Yeah. Sometimes. There were two shovels, a pick, and several beer cans found at the crime scene.
What the F?
Oh my gosh. Just like, drinking with the dead bodies. It's fine.
And attempting to dig them up.
It's fine.
Wonderful.
Whatever, you know?
Wonderful.
What else are the youths to do? And
was it a local draft?
Brunswick.
Something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So although there were some police reports filed, no one was ever apprehended for the crime.
See, nowadays they could just pull like DNA from the beer can.
Right, yeah. They're not going to. Nobody. It's fine.
Nobody cares.
No.
Okay.
In 2007, a local Boy Scout and Brunswick resident Evan Duffy completed his Eagle Scout project, which was a census and map of all the gravestones in the cemetery. What a cool project.
That's really cool. And what an undertaking.
Right.
From the Undertaker.
From the Undertakers. That's insane. That's such a cool project. I think it's so cool. A map and a database containing all of the gravestones and names that are on them is available at the Town of Brunswick offices for those that are trying to locate family that were buried in Forest Park.
Cool.
So cool.
I love that.
Yep. There is a persistent rumor that Life magazine once ran an article stating that the cemetery is one of the 10 most haunted places in the United States. However, this article doesn't exist.
That's convenient.
So people have been like saying like, oh yeah, that's, it's in this article, like that's art, they came out here and did this story, and that people have even contacted Life magazine to be like, hey, is there this, does this exist? And they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about. So it's just kind of weird.
Do you think maybe it was a ghost who was like, hi, I'm Heidi. Yeah, I'm with Life magazine. I'm here to do an article on the creepy-ass cemetery. let me go ahead and get you to talk. And you're like, gosh, it was so weird because that reporter was in some really old-fashioned looking clothes. I mean, maybe that's her style. It's kind of weird. And then suddenly you call up and they're like, what do you mean, reporters? We haven't seen
anything.
We
got nothing.
Ho, ho, ho. Spooky. Or you then wonder, too, if the story wasn't given the kibosh. Like, no, we're not going to do this.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about some things that make this place spooky.
Ooh, let's do.
Okay, so obviously the empty mausoleum.
That'll do
front.
It.
The that, front, yep. You know, the entrance, the welcome tomb.
Welcome.
Or whatever. Yeah. You know, and we talked about how they store all the bodies there in the winter, so it doesn't, you know, they don't rot.
Kind of like your plants. You bring them in the winter?
Yeah.
Similar.
Yep, you bring them in there because it's cold enough in there that they stay cold.
Jeez.
They're in the winter, but you can't bury them because the ground's frozen.
Grandma looks like she did on the day she died.
Yep. So you have to wait till the ground thaws out.
Wonderful.
And then you can chuck the bodies in.
That happened with my great-grandfather up in New York, actually.
Yeah.
We went to his funeral, and the ground was frozen, and they were like, so, you know, I said we were going to go to the burial. Guess what? No. So we had to wait a couple of days until they could bury him.
Okay, so here's another kind of spooky story. Okay. In 1916, a Buffalo man by the name of Harold Hubbard Horn, that's a lot of H's, Triple H.
Well, we like H's here.
We do. Was visiting with his girlfriend. Not much is known about the details of what happened. All that is certain is that the man died in the cemetery from a gunshot to the head. So some say that he and his girlfriend parked their car at the entrance and spent the night talking. In the car.
In a cemetery?
In the cemetery. At some point, the girlfriend fell asleep, and when she awoke, she found that he had shot himself in the head. Others say that she woke up to find him hanging from a tree.
Okay.
So, he's dead. Many people say that if you drive by at night, you can see this troubled man roaming the cemeteries. Others say if you call his name three times, he will appear. His aura is explained to be a warm feeling, not cold, like most spirits.
Okay, so he's like a nice, loving. Yep. He's a friendly ghost.
He's a friendly ghost. His spirit is described as giving off warm feelings of comfort, especially to those who are depressed, because he does not want them to share his fate.
So it seems like very likely he did commit suicide. Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Okay, now we've got some grave diggers.
Of course we do.
So we're going to talk more about this dug-up grave that we found in the 80s.
Okay, yeah. The youths.
Yeah. The youths. In the late 1980s, two teens found a partially dug-up grave. Those picks and shovels were found at the scene. This is, you know, just a problem.
I mean, obviously.
That people are out and about just digging up bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, because that's not the only instance of that happening.
Because grave diggers are usually seeking, like, fortune or, like, money or, like, jewelry off the bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I will say, our good pal, Walter, who passed.
Yeah.
If he was buried with the bling he had on him at that funeral, he was dressed to the nines.
I'm going to say, he looked better dead than I look alive.
Oh, yeah.
He was well put together. And absolutely. Always a well put together man. He was. But he just really was
always, like, stylish. Great guy.
Yeah.
Miss him dearly.
That was 2 years ago.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He was a good guy.
He was.
He just, you know.
May he rest in peace.
Miss Walt.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-mm. Okay. All right. So, speaking of those, you know, spooky statues.
Ugh.
One has apparently lost its head. So, during a visit to the cemetery, a visitor said that, you know, she followed a pathway that led into the woods.
Nope.
She had heard that there were statues, but, you know, she seemed to be going deeper and deeper into the forest and was like, yeah, maybe I should turn back.
Yes.
But instead, she continued.
Nope.
And when she found the statue, it was that of a headless angel statue in the middle of the woods. There were apparently several of them. There were fresh flowers laying by the statues. There were no graves nearby. And the cemetery, you know, was considered to be abandoned, so there should be no fresh flowers next to the statues that are this deep into the woods. As, you know, nature's kind of taken it over.
Right.
Rumor has it that these angel statues bleed, quote-unquote, from the neck. So it looks like they're bleeding. So probably, honestly, it's when it rains, like, and the water's running down, it looks like they're bleeding. But still spooky. Still super weird. So the biggest question is, why are they out there? Why are these statues just there? Why do they have no heads? Who removed the heads, and where are they now?
And who's brought the fresh flowers?
Yeah, and who's bringing these flowers? So.
Some could be some youth out in the woods or like, watch this. And they like knock the head off the, you know, and then took the heads or something as like memorabilia. So that could be explained. The whole fresh flowers is a little creepy, especially deep in the woods. It's like, who's coming out there? That's a little weird.
It was also weird that there's no like graves around it.
Yeah.
They're just there. And so part of me wonders like when they were, you know, they were building the cemetery and they kept going bankrupt and kept going bankrupt.
So they were in the process and they built the stones, the statues first.
They brought these statues in and just like set them to the side and were like, okay, we'll place them.
And we're also thinking like eventually this will have graves here because we're expanding. Right. That makes sense.
So we've just put these angels here and maybe they were going to move, you know, one, like them to different areas and have one in each little area and then bankrupt and whoops, and then the youths, you know, with their baseball bats just took the heads off.
Yeah.
So.
And then, you know, it rained.
And then it looks rained, like they're bleeding. And now they're bleeding. And then somebody came along and put fresh flowers, because why not? Maybe?
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm going with.
Creepy. Okay.
Well, that's all I got on that.
I think we obviously should go there.
Yeah.
And see what we can see. Now, here's a question I've always had. For these ghosts, like, we only really talked about one ghost. Yeah. But so let's say that you have a, like, benevolent ghost, and then you have a ghost who's kind of angry. Do they cross paths?
Probably.
So can ghosts cross paths with each other if they're on, like, essentially different planes? So you've got one who's kind of evil, and you've got one who's kind of sweet. Do they manipulate the other? Like,
I mean,
do they see each other, talk to each other? Because they've died at different times.
Probably.
They're
because,
stuck in a limbo.
You know, in my afterlife, I fully plan to be, like...
Well, we have a business.
The, like, quintessential of people, like...
Well, you didn't even just say haunting. I think terrorizing was one of your words.
Yeah.
You said, end quote, poltergeist and shit.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's what you said.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So I fully plan to do that. But that's just like my day job in the afterlife. My like weekends, afternoons, like if I take some time off during the day, I plan to just be hanging out, chilling around.
Where do you think you're getting this PTO from?
I mean, I don't have to request it. I'm dead.
Everything has to go past my desk. I mean, I need to see a memo at least.
Approve it.
I have to approve it. I'm the manager.
You are the supervisor.
We have so...
You are the supervisor.
It's true. Haley and I have this running joke. Years ago, I had a supervisor who was a little bit of an egomaniac. I hope she listens. Honey, I hope you listen.
I wonder if she does.
Maybe secretly, but she doesn't want us to know. She would never admit it to us. But she loved her little ego trip.
I'm the supervisor.
And so now we just say things like, actually, in my role, I am the supervisor.
You are the supervisor.
But yeah, I never do that with people. Like, I mean... They know I'm their boss. Like, it's not a, you know, thing. But yeah, I'm your supervisor. So, in this scenario, Haley, I'm your supervisor, so, like, all your PTO needs to come across my desk, and I need to approve it before you just take time off and just willy-nilly start, like, hanging out.
Okay.
I just want you to be aware of that.
Understood.
Oh, hold, please. I have a call. Hello. Welcome to the afterlife. and then that's how you have to switch gears.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be, you know, the bad bitch boss.
Right.
You know, and let them know
that you are in charge.
I am in charge here. Where's the PTO? But then, ring, hello, welcome to the afterlife. How may I assist you? Yes, please hold. All right, so I want it in today. You know, like, you have to switch gears like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like the idea of haunting. Wouldn't it be fun for you and I to haunt a supervisor?
Yes.
The old supervisor, I would so haunt her.
Yeah.
There's a couple people I'd haunt from that.
Oh, God. From place. That journey that we were on all those years ago. Yeah, same.
I am still so incredibly traumatized from that. I really am.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been years.
Yeah.
But that was such a traumatizing...
We trauma bonded.
We did.
Hardcore.
We did.
Together.
And I was thinking about that, of how many people, I mean, mass exodus left that job.
Oh, like, we went from a team of 12 to 5?
12 or 13. No, it was even less. Like, there like, are, yeah.
Like, 3 or 4 people left.
3.
From that.
Yeah. So, like, 11 people.
So, just listen. We all know that there are toxic jobs out there. And just think, in the afterlife, you get to haunt them.
That's your justice.
That's your justice.
That's your justice, which is kind of nice because then it's everlasting in a way.
Yeah.
So just think of that.
Sweet,
all the good things.
Justice.
Yes, all the good things. They hold no power over you.
No. Well, That'll be a fun time.
Make sure to get your PTO in by 5.
Understood. Yes, because you're the supervisor.
I'm the supervisor. I'm your supervisor.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, listen, if you have stories about toxic jobs or supervisors.
Or you're the supervisor.
Just go ahead and let us know. And you can do that by sending us a email to mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. Find us on our Instagram, mountainmysteries.appalachia. Check us out on our Patreon for some good times. You can do that at patreon.com/mountainmysteries.
You did it.
I did it.
I'm proud.
Wow, that was a lot. I'm winded.
Do you want to, like, take in some oxygen? You need an inhaler? Yeah. Maybe, like,
welcome to Mountain Mysteries.
You know, something like that. Yeah, that's yeah. all I needed. Sorry. Who knows? I'm going to give a shout out while Haley breathes to Anaheim, California. Ooh. So that is where Disneyland is.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Never been there.
I have. Funny, fun fact is I have never been to Disney World in Florida, but I have been to Disneyland in Anaheim.
I've been to Disney World twice. Once when I was like 5 or 6, and then I went with a dance team to perform fun. Down there. So.
I don't know. I don't know about the idea of, like, standing in line forever and a year just to, like, ride a ride.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks. I'm good.
No, I don't think I would ever go back.
Yeah. To me, it doesn't sound appealing. I know, I don't know, a lot of people really enjoy it, but that's not my... Yeah,
I mean, I like a good theme park, don't get me wrong. But I'm also, like, as I've gotten older, my motion sickness is horrific. So I just don't know if I would, there's many things I could ride anymore. I don't want to. Cause I get really sick really easy.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Well, one of my workers, cause I'm her supervisor. actually, they had gone to Disney World and she came back and she brought my son a little Mickey Mouse. It was really sweet. But I can live vicariously through her and all of her fun times and I don't have to go.
Right. Like I can watch other people's like TikToks or whatever about, you know, their Disney days or whatever. Yeah. And like somehow I'm on like Disney Pins TikTok.
That's weird because it's that's odd. Not like your thing.
It's not, but I really enjoy, there's one creator on there, Blake Silva is his name, and he's just like the purest, like if you just could imagine just like a pure soul who just,
it's hard to find between you and me,
is excited about life and it's just so sweet. And I really want to be his friend.
I was going to say, that is the antithesis of us.
Exactly. But, like, he just is so positive and pure and kind.
We need that in our life.
He goes around and, like, gets, you know, all these, like, mystery pins and, like, opens them and, like, all these different little things. He's just really cute.
So. I'm going to make an executive decision right here, right now, as manager of this afterlife program. Understood. He's one that we need.
Yep.
We need him.
We'll protect him at all costs.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll take him.
Okay. I don't really know anything about him other than I follow him on TikTok.
But when he passes and he comes to us, as many will come through the tomb.
Yep.
The afterlife tomb. Yeah, the
welcome tomb.
Yes. He is one of our good ones. He'll go on this side. You instantly that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay. I like that. I respect that.
It's fine.
Oh, God, let's end this. All right. Well.
Well, just keep on being the supervisor. And we'll see.
I told you to end this. I'm your supervisor. All right, y'all have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm your supervisor.
I'm your supervisor.